Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Okay, so you're probably all wondering what's going on. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. Apparently, Blog Talk would not let us log in, and I thought there was a problem with me and our show here. And then Gene couldn't log in, and then nobody could log in. You know, then I found out from Bianchi that nobody could log in. Well, guess what? I'm live, and in fact, I'm trying to fix my stuff here. Wait a minute. Oh, what's going on? It's so weird. I'm checking my microphone so it doesn't fall over. It's been one of those days. Anyway, so we're live. And I don't know if anybody's listening. I don't, you know, hopefully somebody, you'll get the podcast here, but I've got an hour and 46 minutes of actual show here left. So it's not quite going to be 2 hours, but that's okay. There's a lot that we can accomplish in this time. I've got all my articles. I've got lists of things. Looks like my computer completely restarted. I have no idea where all my information is. We're completely improvising the entire show today. Gene, I've texted her. Bianchi, if you want to call in, feel free. You might as well call in now. 215-383-3832. And I also uploaded, let's see if it's there. I wanted to, in fact, I got to move. Let me get my phone list up. We're really disorganized this morning. Well, I didn't think I was going to have a show, you know, so that's part of live radio is like, you know, it's all of a sudden it came back on. So Blog Talk got a hold of me. Said, yeah, we got problems. We're trying to fix it. So well, let's see if they fixed it already. So I looked on the screen and there's my studio thing and it looks like they have fixed it. So we're live. Here we go. Yeah. So, you know me, when in doubt, you know, carry on, go forth. And, you know, I have, like I say, my show notes. We're going to get David Jones, who normally comes up in this hour. We're going to get him tomorrow. And so that's going to happen there. I'm doing things, you know, working the computer, doing the mouse. Hopefully I don't cut the show off by accident once again. And so that's what's happening now. All right, so let's move that there. And so now I get my phone numbers in case somebody calls, my regular folks. And so, yeah, so Dave, if you're listening, you know, you can call in now too. But it's, I guess everybody's, you know, back to work. So this is going to be mostly a podcast episode because by this time people are thinking, well, hell, I don't know. He's not on the air. We might as well, you know, not worry about it. But I've got so much information that I don't want to miss the chance to give it to you, even if it's just me talking. It's like the old days when I first started, you know, and the 2-hour monologues. You know, and way back December 24th, 2018 is when we did our first episode. So as far as I know, I'm broadcasting. And so let me see that. Yeah, it looks like, yeah, everything's working. So I'm going to do a quick Facebook message if I can find my Facebook and say, guess what? We're on the air. Hey, folks, we did it. We're back. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Da-da-da. All right. It looks like I have to make a new window. So we're living in very strange times, as you know. I put a bunch of messages on Facebook about how the gelding, you know, old party, the GOP is talking about how, you know, how horrible things are in Afghanistan and how everything else is going on. And the first thing I want to tell them is this is your fault. You know, you're the one that came back January 6th and voted for this guy. You know, Biden wouldn't be there if not for Republicans. And so we know that this is the main reason that this is all happening. And so, you know, they can make the brave noise. They can say whatever they want. But the truth is, they're the reason that this happened, you know, because we know the Democrats are going to put in a fake administration. So what we didn't know is that the Republicans would go along with it. And then that, of course, is the problem. So I'm going to put another big announcement on Facebook. Just bear me for a second. We're improvising live radio here, which makes it whole kinds of fun. So let me find the big happy faces. Where's my happy faces? Happy face. There's a happy face. Yeah. I'm back on the air. And I'm back on the air. People listening to this are, what is he doing? Well, I'm on Facebook at the same time. All right. So I wanted to do that because I got to let everybody know. And so this is going to be an extended show. We're going to go on for a while. Who cares? It's radio. That's the beauty of this, is that we get to improvise and do all these really cool things. All right. So let me just get that announcement here, that there, and then I'll get into what I wanted to talk about today. Let's see if the show is still doing what it's supposed to do. Okay, share to the group. That's fine. Everybody's happy. And I've done my work here. This is live radio. This is what makes it interesting. So let's start with the big news. I was reading last night a bunch of things, and I was watching, I think it was One American News or Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson has this guy, Schwepp. And he's from this organization called the American Principles Project or something like that. And he was talking about all, you know, the thing that caught my eye was he was talking about all these different conservative, allegedly conservative groups that are being funded by liberals, by liberal causes, by big tech, by Google and Amazon and Facebook. And I thought, well, that's interesting. How did that happen? And so I got a couple of charts here I'm going to pull up. And that's basically the information I wanted to give you. Like I said, we may not go the full 2 hours. You know, I had, you know, planned to have Jean here. She's, you know, off, I guess, for now. And, you know, hopefully I can get her back. But let me see if I can do that. I can do that. Where's the other chart? There's another big chart here. Where'd it go? Oh, there's two of them. That's right. All right. So I got, I've got this. I should have this on. Where am I? It should be on. I'm sorry. Things are so confused today. It's just a crazy day. All right, so let's get that one. All right, so there's the first one. There's the other one I want. Let's get this one here. View data. All right, so I wonder if I had this already on. See, again, something happened to my computer, and it all kind of mushed together. So is that the one I want? No, that's okay, this is the one I want. All right, so now I get to cancel that one. Take out one browser thing. Of course, it's always a good idea. All right, so American Principled. You know, American Principle Project. And so they have it's a browser extension data sheet. I put it on my Facebook page. It's on the Action Radio group. You can take a look at it. But I'm thinking to myself, holy, you know what? so just a message to Gene. Yeah, come on, Gene, for as much time as you have. I can stay longer. You can't, but so let me put a little message here. Come on board. Come on board. See, we're kind of improvising here. Putting this all together as best we can. And I'll explain to Gene on the air how I've done it. All right, so I'm looking at these groups. Let me see if some of these sound familiar to you. Oh, here we go, American Conservative Union. They're the folks that put on CPAC, all right? American Conservative Union. You know, and you can review this list too. Go to American Principles Project. In fact, I should probably get their main website. I've got a post on Facebook. Let me just make sure I've got that for you guys to be able to find, get the original. Let me scroll down here. Scroll. I got past my Judicial Watch. We'll get to that stuff too. Oh, Charlie Watts died too. I'm very sad about that because he's Rolling Stones, man. He's the drummer. He was the dude. He was the man. You know, so it's very sad. All right, so let me get this one, pull up that one, and see if I can get back to the original. It wasn't like it's going to let me do it. All right, so let me stop talking and actually start reading. I'll get to it as I go. All right, so let me get to this data sheet here. And so anyway, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry to be so scattered this morning. I'll find the American Principles Project. I know where to find it. In my file on cool people to talk to. I want to get these on the air. And so that's going to be the good thing to do. But I want to at least give you I wasn't even planning to do a show. After I figured that it wasn't going to happen, you know, of course, you sort of get out of the mode. All your organization goes away, and you sort of forget what's happening. So let's go. John Schwepp. John Schwepp was his name. He says, I'm the director of Policy and Government Affairs for American Principles Project. That's what you want to talk about. In this role, I develop and advance the organization's legislative priorities by working with allied groups and with federal and state lawmakers. Earlier this year, I co-authored a policy blueprint protecting free speech and defending kids, a proposal to amend Section 230. Okay, now I'm going to write this guy for the simple reason that we also have a bill here at writeyourlaws.com, and I looked at their bill, and they're doing a lot of duplicative effort. And what I discovered when I wrote our bill on Section 230 is that most of the things in terms of obscenity are already covered by the obscenity law, so you don't have to cover them again. You can simply deal with big tech. And so I'm going to write to John Schwepp and tell him that's what I found and see what they think, and away we go. Anyway, so he was talking to Tucker Carlson last night, and he was saying how he's been researching conservative organizations to find out, you know, where their money comes from. And the first one that sticks out here is American Conservative Union. That's Matt Schlapp. That's CPAC. I trust those folks. Well, guess who they're funded by? Here, ready? Let's see if I can find. Let me trace this across the line. Disclosure. The American Conservative Union is funded by Google and Oracle. Google and Oracle fund the American Conservative Union. All right? Let's see if I can find you another conservative organization here. The American Enterprise Institute. You know, the folks with the money. All right? Hey, there's Gene. Let's bring Gene on. I'm going to make her live anyway, whether she's ready to or not. Gene, are you ready to go live, or do you want me to put you back on mute?
No, I'm ready. Good morning.
Okay, good. Welcome to the improv show.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to fly-by-night radio.
Just go with the flow. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we do what we do. Okay. Anyway, so I don't know if you had a chance to listen in, but just to get you caught up, John Schwepp was the guy I found at Tucker Carlson last night talking about how conservative organizations are funded by big tech, which makes them hypocrites. You know, basically, I've just started. I covered American Enterprise Institute, American Conservative. Oh, here's one. Oh, American Constitution Society. They're actually a left-wing group. I'm only dealing with the right-wing groups because I want to find out. Oh, Americans for Tax Reform. Grover Norquist, my hero. Who funds American tax reform? Are you ready? I'm going to slide this over my chart over a little bit here. So if anybody calls Gene, feel free. All right, so Gene, you're able to – you're on microphone, right? So you're able to do the screening thing and all that producer stuff?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. All right. So let's go American tax reform. Have you ever heard – we did a show with Grover Norquist. Have you ever heard him speak?
No, I have not.
Okay. You can even go back to our – we have a WEBY page on Facebook. So if anybody wants to go to my shows on WEBY, you will find one with Grover Norquist, who has the tax pledge, who tells all the candidates to, you know, say promise that they're not going to raise any taxes during the course of their term of office. Well, who do you guess hosts who funds the Americans for tax reform? Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Oracle. Gene?
Wow. That says a lot right there.
Yeah. Here's one of my favorites, too, the Cato Institute, the darling of the libertarians. The Cato Institute is funded by Facebook, Google. It says, let me just slide this thing over here. 3% of their revenue is from corporations. So, yeah, that's not a whole lot. But Facebook and Google fund the Cato Institute. So how libertarian are you if your funding is coming from Facebook and Google, knowing that Facebook coordinated with the World Economic Forum to create Event 201, which was the precursor to the plandemic, where they figured out how to regulate all the information. And yet they're funding the Cato Institute. So you're not so much libertarian anymore, folks.
Well, but also when you consider that Facebook censors so much of this stuff, so that means how much are they really doing that's authentic to themselves versus they're pandering to Facebook and the powers that be so they keep their funding.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the question, too, is that where did they lose their way? Where did money become more important than principle? You know, if any one of these, Facebook approached me with money, I'd happily take their money and still do exactly as I pleased, which would cut off their money. But that's okay. You know, I can do that. But I'd rather be funded by decent corporations, you know, the food storage people, the gun manufacturers, you know, the patriotic companies out there, the companies run by veterans. Those are the folks who are going to support Action Radio. And they're not going to give us this crap about being funded by Facebook and Google because they're not going to take it either. So that's something interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So when do you think they lost their way? When did money become more important to them than their principles? Got any idea? Because I don't know. I mean, it's speculating.
Well, I think a lot of times, well, this is me just speculating too, but I think a lot of times when you look at politicians as well, they go into office with, you know, all these grandiose ideas and they seem like they're pretty upfront people and, you know, one of us or just someone that is not ruled by money, but it doesn't take long before they're total opposite. I mean, how else do they stay in politics and come out millionaires? I mean, that don't make any sense based on their pay. So what I'm getting at is for these companies, they may go in right away thinking, oh, we're going to stay true to ourselves and our values and whatnot. But when they start getting the money, it seems like people want more and more money. So that's when we start doing things that may not be so much in alignment with ourselves because we let, I don't want to say greed, but really greed or the next dollar sign lead our way instead of doing the right thing.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that groups, you know, I remember I used to have a lot of respect for the NRA, the National Rifle Association, until it appeared to me and millions of other people about 10 years ago that fundraising was their most important function, that it wasn't defending the Second Amendment, and it really was a self-perpetuating organization. And I think a lot of these other ones get the same way. They get wrapped up in the money. They get wrapped up in their own propaganda. They puff themselves out thinking that they're doing everything they need to do, they're the good guys. Therefore, they can take the money, and the lunches get bigger, and the trips get bigger, and the perks get bigger, and the offices get better furnished, and they have, you know, conventions further and further away, and they just keep spending money on themselves, and they forget why they got into the nonprofit business in the first place. Let me give you a couple. What do you think of that? Then I got a couple more for you here. You might find interesting.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's very sad. But the thing is, if I'd be put in that situation, I would say no. I'd never do it. But who knows? You know, I may like that brand new fancy car, or you know, the house that I've always wanted, or something like that. You know, I'd hope to say I wouldn't be like that. But one never knows until we get into that situation. But then you look at unions, and unions are supposed to be for the workers. They are not for the workers. And I can tell you that because as a therapist, I've only worked one place that was a union, and I couldn't be involved in it for certain reasons. But what happened was the hospital gave one therapy group a raise. They didn't give the other two therapy groups a raise, and the union did nothing about it. They just said, oh, that's just how it is. It's like, no, that's not how it is. If you're sticking up for the people that are in the union, it's like right now or right then, that's saying that one group of therapists is better than the other two. And that's not how it is because it takes a team. And so that was one early on example of unions aren't looking out for our best interests. It's the union bosses that are making a lot of money. And you could say, yeah, they have their meaning and well points and all that. And it's like, yes, but when the end of the day comes, are they really looking out for you? No, it's just their own self they're looking out for.
Well, I have mixed feelings because I was a Teamster for several years, and I liked being a Teamster, and here I was a conservative, independent constitutionalist, and I saw no problem with the Teamsters because it was freedom of assembly. They were negotiating better contracts for me with the companies I was working for than I could get myself. And so in that respect, unions are good. When they act as agents for workers, you know, there's absolutely no reason not to collectively bargain when you have management collectively bargaining. You know, it's like one employee versus a collective management. That's a completely unequal system. So the whole point of unions is to create an equal system where you have a collective workforce bargaining with a collective management, and therefore there's an equalization of power. But in a private company union, and I have no respect for government unions. I would abolish the teachers union, the SIEU. Government workers should not be able to unionize because they're protected by legislatures that buy them off with big contracts so they get their votes. So government unions are an inherent conflict of interest. But private unions, you got a company. You know, UPS has a big contract, for example, with the Teamsters. All right, and they're extremely profitable, and it's a nationwide contract. So they pay more. This is why everybody wants UPS jobs. They pay more than, you know, all the little delivery services, the smaller ones that aren't unionized. So you work for them, you get full health benefits, you get, I don't know, it's probably $25 to $30 an hour. Now, that's a pretty good wage, all right? Plus job security as you work your way up. But they negotiate the contract much better than if every one of those UPS places was an independent, you know, shop where they would do what they want. But the difference is still as powerful as the company is and as powerful as the union is, there's still a limit on the money. And so the union can't ask for a contract so great that it bankrupts the company or everybody loses their job and the company goes broke. Well, that's no good. The company can't ask for so little wage that all the workers say, I can't live on that, and they all quit. And you get either a strike or you get constant, you know, training of lesser mortals that have no idea what they're doing. So there are limits, there are restrictions on the powers of people when they contract in a private company union. So I have no problem with that. My problem is with the government unions. So unions, when they're doing what they're supposed to do, will advocate on behalf of the workers and make good contracts. When unions engage in politics, usually on behalf of Democrats, they're doing what they're not supposed to do, and workers should be able to, union members should be able to say, nope, you can't, you can use my money for collective bargaining, but any money going to politics is a separate voluntary fund that has nothing to do with union dues. That's how I do it.
Yeah, well, this company I worked for, it was a hospital, and they paid one group of therapists, and we're all therapists. So why was the physical therapist given a raise and the occupational speech therapist not? And so they weren't looking out for the collective of us all. They were saying right there that one group is superior over the other. And it's like, well, that was your decision. But yeah, the union did nothing. And these poor people were spending a lot of money each year on the union dues. And That's what they got. The union turned a blind eye on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and I had problems with the Teamsters, too, that they focused more on their Democrat political friends than they did on, you know, on the actual contracts. And the problem was, quite honestly, that, you know, they a lot of us were Republicans or a lot of us were conservatives, you know, or independents mm-hmm. like me. And so what, it was definitely a problem. We talked about that, too. I said, well, we think our interest lies with the Democrats. I said, oh, really? Have you seen the tax rates lately? You know, have you seen the economy? You know, we all benefit when there's a good economy. And so it became a real education process that I was trying to work with the Teamsters. I'd love to have Teamster representatives on, you know, because I think unions absolutely have a place out there, because without unions, you know, there's a lot of companies that would basically work their workers to death, or they would cause them to be so exhausted, you know, especially, you know, freight delivery, railroads, trucking, any of those airlines, any of those, not the pilots, that's a different union, but any of the support people, you know, if you don't have scheduled hours, you know, if you don't have, you know, optional overtime as opposed to mandatory where they just keep you working, if you don't have limits on how much you can lift, you know, they can make you do anything. And they say, if you right. don't do this, you're fired. I mean, that's the way it used to be. You know, that's when we had 12-year-olds, you know, working to death, and they were dead by 20, you know, because they were expendable. Workers, you know, workers were expendable. It's interesting in slavery, if you bring that up, slaves were not expendable. Slaves were property. Slaves were bought, and people, you know, the slave owners, as disgusting and horrible as they were, wanted a return on their investment. And the company towns that came later, where people actually went into debt, slaves were never in debt because they never owned anything. They were property. They didn't have property. But people that worked for the company towns that had to pay the company for their shack and pay for their food, and they always set the prices, you know, of the rent and the food higher than the wages they paid, knowing that people, the longer they stayed, the more in debt they got to the company. It was actually a debt thing. All right. And so it was fascinating to see how the company town worked. And people talk about slavery as the worst evil on earth. I don't think so. I mean, it's one of them. It's right up there at the top. But if you think, if you consider company towns where people actually got in debt, progressively more in debt for trying to work and feed their families, as opposed to slaves that actually, you know, broke even, because it didn't cost a slave to work, but it did cost a company town person to work. And that's when unions came along and said, wait a minute. You know, and the workers, they were expendable. They were killed in those mines and killed in the railroads and killed in a – and they were shot by Pinkertons after World War I for striking because they were expendable. There was no cost to an employee except the wages they paid, and those were substandard anyway. So when people think of the evils of the world, you know, you got to put these things in perspective, I think. All right. Yeah, it looks like we got a call. So I'm gonna ramble on here for a minute more, a couple more examples. And let me see what y'all think of this. So let's you want to take our call? Or you want to chat with him? He's a cool dude. All right. Let me see. Where was I? Or I can put him on. Gene, what do you do? She's got him. Okay, good. All right. Move that. I'm impatient. I'm terrible. Where did I put my, I had this wonderful article. Ah, here it is. All right. So let's get back to this. I'm moving things. Don't mind me. All right. So these are organizations you would think would be conservative. You know, I'm taking just the right wing ones. Hey, Pianki. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing fine now that your funeral music stopped.
What were they playing?
It looked like they were trying to make the corpse stand up out of the casket.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's, you know, the expression saved by the bell? They used to put little bells when people were buried alive and they didn't know it. And they said, well, we think they're dead. Well, they're not quite dead yet. Okay, fine. And you hear these bells going off in these cemeteries. And say, oh, they're not dead yet. Dig them up.
That was the graveyard shifts. You remember?
The graveyard, exactly. Those were real shifts, yeah. Anyway, so let me hit you with a couple of organizations here that one would think would be, you know, conservative and independent of big tech, but they're not. Here's one. Let's see where I get my right-wing ones. I had them before. Let me put this right up here. Oh, this will work out better. If I can scroll properly. Oh, here's Chamber Technological, you know, Engagement Center, nonpartisan. The Chamber Technology is funded by Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Committee for Justice. Oh, my goodness. A right-wing organization, Committee for Justice, funded by Google. Committee to Unleash Poverty, another conservative organization, funded by Google. The Competitive Enterprise Institute. Now, one would definitely think that's a right-wing organization, right? Think Tank. Nope, they're funded by Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Funny another one. The Copia Institute. Never heard of them. They're funded by Google. Council on Foreign Relations, one of my personal favorites. You know, the globalists, right? Who funds them? Facebook. See if I can find some more. Federalist Society. These are the folks that give you your judges, okay? Anybody remember that, you know, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Frat Boy, and Amy Coney Barrett, you know, Beauty Queen, they were all brought to Trump from the Federalist Society. Well, who funds the Federalist Society? Facebook and Google. So is anybody surprised now that those useless judges, you know, on the Supreme Court, who have never taken a very conservative point of view, who have never, who never brought the Texas case, the election fraud, you know, out there, and who should have told John Roberts where to put it, you know, where the sun don't shine, you know, and said, when you find that the Federalist Society, a group that I used to trust, is funded by, you know, Facebook and Google, now it all makes sense. They're on the take. Pianki, Gene, what do you think?
Well,
Pianki first.
You know,
yeah, go ahead.
You're absolutely right. That information should be known.
It is now.
Let people understand. You're right. Let people understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the money. And, you know, when these companies get so big, whereas they can start funding political entities that will mm-hmm. make things either better for them and bad for others, that gets to be a problem. That needs to be
well, you can't trust them anymore.
You
can't trust them because if you know they're taking money from Facebook and Google, who, you know, Facebook especially, who controlled all the information on the pandemic and suppressed all the cures and helped Dr. Fascist, you know, kill 600,000 Americans for no reason, you know, they're both genocidal, psychopathic, vaccine drug pushers because there's money in it for both of them. All right. I don't trust anything funded by Facebook. And I use Facebook all the time because it's a great way to communicate. But I exchange my personal information for that right to use Facebook. You know, so it's a very interesting thing. I want to give you one bright spark before I get to Gene here. The Heritage Foundation has pledged not to accept big tech funding since 2020, which means up until 2020, they probably did. But at least they've seen the light, and they're not taking big tech money anymore. Gene, what do you think so far?
So you can find you well, I was just going to say that it's too bad that the government, and I'm talking about when they were trying to decide on the next Supreme Court justice and stuff like that, that mm-hmm. they weren't more aware of who was, you know, funding those organizations. But it brings up a good point because it's not something I would have ever thought I needed to check into or look into. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, that's another whole thing. Now it's like when you work or do a business with someone or something like that, we have to now look at who's funding them. And is it for our best interest? It's just like the Walmarts of the world and all the stuff that's going on with them. People like to shop there because it's cheaper. But if you look at some of the stuff that's going on within the Walmart organization, no one should ever step foot in there again. But it's very sad. And for those companies that were given money,
mm-hmm.
yeah, now that they know, and I think it wasn't known. I mean, it wasn't until Trump got into office that I think really opened my eyes to Facebook and the fact checkers and all that, that it is
yep.
one way. And so what we're getting at, what I'm getting at is, yes, you may start one way, but if you find things out, it doesn't mean you have to keep doing it the same way. You can always change. And one thing is own up to it. I think in this government now, they want to point the blame at everybody else but themselves. And not that you have to point blame, but take responsibility, you know, man
yeah.
up and just say, hey, you know, I screwed up. I learned from this. Won't make that mistake again, instead of blaming everybody and their uncle.
Yeah, it's let me see if I can find these guys here. John Schwepp is the guy that did SCHWEPPE. And so American Principles Project is where I found this. Again, this is something, a report I just saw last night. I'm like, wait a minute. This is good. I want to get this guy on the show. Again, because they wrote a they're trying to write some legislation themselves too. So American Principles Project. Let's see if I can find you some more information. Our mission. Let me get you a mission statement. The family is America's most important institution. Not in my case. Nowadays, everyone has a political arm or lobbyist to protect their interests, but the American family does not. All right, I believe that. Let me just get more of their lobbying stuff. This one, you know, seem to be doing that. Yeah, okay, all right. So anyway, I'll post. You just go American Principles Project. You can find out more about them. Let me get back to some of these lists here. Global Antitrust Institute, a conservative organization, is funded by Facebook. The Hudson Institute is funded by Google. The Independent Women's Forum. Are you ready, Jean? Funded by Google and Amazon. Who else we got? Institute for Free Speech is funded by Facebook. 5% of their revenue is from corporations. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Let me see. International Center for Law and Economy. Law and Economics, funded by Facebook, Google, and Amazon. So, I mean, I could go through these. They're all pretty much the same. National Review. Oh, there you go. You know, National Review, wasn't that that was started by William F. Buckley Jr. And now we have a report from William F. Buckley Jr., who said that, well, this is the way it is, and this is the economy, and this is what we talk about here in a very distinguished, you know, upper-class New York tones, yes. Anyway, National Review's parent organization, NRI, is funded by Google. In fact, they got three here. National Review Institute, also funded by Google. That's William Crystal. Isn't he heading up that now, National Review? Isn't he the editor of that, you know, now rag? Anybody?
I don't know. I think so.
Okay. All right. Let me see if I can find some of the other big ones. Reason Foundation and Reason Magazine. We thought they were conservative. They're funded by Google, both the foundation and Reason Magazine. Oh, here we go. Republican Attorney General Association is funded by Facebook and Google. The Ripon Society is funded by Facebook, Amazon, and Google. See, these organizations have so much money that they're able to do this. You know, regular corporations used to donate to these things. You know, and corporations donate to both Republicans and Democrats so that no matter who's in office, they still owe them. That's pretty common. See here, Taxpayers Protection Alliance, funded by Google and Amazon, says they are not transparent about their donors. Okay. Technology Policy Institute, funded by Facebook, Google, Amazon, and Apple. Let's see who else we've got here. Young Voices is funded by Google and Amazon. So it's like they've almost bought all of the groups. The only one that has any good news is Facebook. Is Heritage. But then I go to the second chart and I find that's not as good as we thought. Pianki, did I hear you back there?
Well, you need to find out what comes with that funding.
Ooh, good point. How do we do that?
Some companies will fund just so that they can have a write-off. And they don't want to interfere with the operation of the company.
Yeah,
so you have to find out.
Well, that's true, but I think in Facebook and Google and all their case, they're trying to quiet certain voices and stuff like that. It's their philosophies, or they pull the funding.
Here's the new list. Let me go through this real quickly. American Action Forum, conservative. Facebook and Google funds them. Here's the American Enterprise Institute. We mentioned them the last time. Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Americans for Tax Reform. So much for Grover Norquist. Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Scroll. Let's get to more conservative.
What about Action Network and the Rainbow Push with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton?
Action Network. I don't see Action Network. Operation Push. Let's take a look. Rainbow Push. Okay, this is on my Facebook page too. If anybody wants to take a look, Rainbow Push Coalition Citizen Education Fund is funded by Facebook.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, let's.
Now you got to see exactly what type of influence they have, being that they fund, and that will require you to ask some questions of some people who sits on the board.
Well, I'm just going to watch everything they say now, and I look up the chart and say, you know. By the way, you're fun, I know who funds you now. Buckeye Institute is funded by Google. They're conservative. The Cato, we mentioned them before, funded by Facebook and Google. Let's go through these. Center for Growth and Opportunity, funded by Google. These are just the conservative ones. Let me see here. Committee for Justice, Google. Committee to Unleash Prosperity, Google. Competitive Enterprise Institute, Facebook, Google, and Amazon. And we mentioned some of these before. Federal Society, again, those are the ones that give you your judges, the ones that recommend judges to the president, Facebook and Google. George Mason University. George Mason University, that's where, was it Walter Williams? Did he teach there or did he teach at Georgetown University? I forgot. I think it was George Mason, funded by Google and Amazon. Global Antitrust, funded by Facebook. These are all conservative organizations. Heritage, uh-oh. Heritage in the first chart was pretty good, but now it says Facebook and Google contribute to the Heritage Foundation. Sorry, guys, you just lost me. We mentioned some of these before. Like I say, I'm Intercenter. Yeah, okay. All right, looks like these are pretty standard. James Madison Institute, funded by Google. So much for them. Law and Economics Center, Amazon. Lexington Institute, oh, the birthplace of American liberty, funded by Amazon. The Mercatus Center, that's probably the economic one. Facebook and Google, and that's at Georgetown, George Mason University. You guys have an organization you want me to look up? I mean, I haven't, I got them all here. Pianki, do you have any other ones we should check out while we're here?
Well, I could think of a lot of them, but you don't have but 13 minutes.
I got time. No. You don't understand. I've extended this show. We've got another hour and 10 minutes. Gene's going to have to leave in 13 minutes.
Well, you can look at the NAACP. Who's funded this?
Let's look up the NAACP. This is why I'm glad you're here. NAACP. Facebook.
Yeah, well. NAACP.
Who else do you want?
I don't think CORE is still. Is CORE still around? C-O-R-E?
I got the National Black Justice Coalition. That's funded by Google. CORE. C-O-R.
C-O-R-E. Congress of Racial Equality.
Equality. Oh, I remember them. Council on State Taxes. I don't think they're listed.
Yeah.
No. Council of State Governments, Council of the Americas, Council on Foreign Relations, Facebook. They list them as a left organization. That's good. All right. I think we've covered this adequately. But and again, these are available on Facebook. And also, if you go to the page on American Principle Project, American Principles Project, Jay Schwepp, you'll find that out. All right. Gene, we only have a few minutes left with you because you're going to have to go in a bit. What's your take on the thing that's happening today that you would like to present to us on our improvised show today?
Well, I was listening to something this morning from Canada about the vaccines, and they were saying that the vaccines were, the way it sounds, they're only good for about up to 4 months. And the vaccines are not, how would you say, they're not really able to deal with the variants that's coming out, and that they had some stuff on there about pregnant women and the vaccines. And the bottom line is this, especially where I work, I found out yesterday that I may not have a job too much longer if I don't get the vaccine. And what bothers me is, one, it really doesn't, I can't see how it's that effective. You know, for what it says it does, and they said that if you get it, you're going to have to get a booster about every 4 to 6 months. So that means for the rest of our life, we're going to have to get a booster because the coronavirus or the whatever it is, that whatever it turns out to be eventually, it's never going to go away. And so are we going to have to keep getting boosters? And we don't know the long-term effects of any of the vaccines. And the way it sounds, some people are having a harder time now with the boosters, the reaction.
Oh, that's
boosters.
Interesting. Well, and it's like the more of this stuff you get, it's like poison. The more of it you get, the worse the effect's going to be.
Right.
It?
And right. Exactly. That's what I would think. But then they said, too, people that get the vaccine, you may not have any issues and it may not show up in anything, but it's there. And sooner or later, something may happen and you're going to start having issues. And I'm just like, why are they mandating this in this country? And what gets me is if the White House is not mandating their people get the coronavirus shot, then why are they mandating everybody else in the country getting it? And I don't know what we can do to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it. And it's not even to say, no, we're not going to do it. No, it's our free will to choose. And to say, well, you know, we're being inconsiderate and people are dying of it. I'm sorry, but people are dying of it that have gotten the vaccine as well. So don't throw that in my face. And people died recently, the families are saying, well, if they would have just got the vaccine, my thinking is if they would have just gotten the treatments they needed beforehand, if they didn't, or early on. Did they? We don't know. So it's speculation, but not everybody that gets the COVID will die, number one. There's a high chance of, you know, people living. And my thinking is I take full responsibility. If I die from COVID, I die from COVID. But right. be darned if I'm going to have the federal government tell me what's best for me when, you know, darn well, they lie through their teeth every single day. And if you don't believe that, look at Afghanistan and tell me what's going on. Because they say, oh, nobody's there, or people are able to get out if they want to get out. That's a lie. That is such a lie. So, you know, I don't know. But I think it's going to get interesting because there are people in healthcare that are standing up and saying, no, I will quit. I will get out of the profession. And then what are they going to do when they're really short of workers? What's the government going to do? I mean, what are they going to – there's only so much any company can do.
Well, I'm thinking we might have to talk about a national walkout, you know, of employees all over this country who refuse to get, you know, poisoned with this thing. You know, and this is what it's coming to, is that we can organize somehow. I want to talk about that over time, but we might have to organize a day where it's national, you know, if you don't want us to work, we're not going to work, and see how many people, you know, just take a day off work. Bianchi?
Well, and then it's the 75 doctors or whoever that walked out the other day in Florida. I talked about that yesterday. Are you kidding me?
That was staged.
Because
that was a different event.
It was, but they didn't get the vaccine and stuff, or people aren't getting it, and they were making their voices heard.
No, they're probably funded by Facebook and Google. I bet you we'll find that out. Bianchi?
Well, the thing that you got at play here, Gene, is an age-old thing, and that man wants to be God. Mm-hmm. And man creates these big companies that has the ability to influence in order to further push their aspirations to be God, that is, control your every aspect of your life. And the thing that should be center point here is the United States Constitution and the liberties that it guarantees, which is your right to choose to either participate, be a part of, or not. And that's what should be center focus, because if they get by this, then what's next, and what's next, and what's next?
So
I'll tell you what's next. More boosters, more variants created by, you know, it's a self-perpetuating marketing scheme. It couldn't be better, you know, for the Dr. Fascists and the government medical mafia that's at work right now, because every vaccine creates a variant. Every variant creates panic. Every panic creates, you know, the desire for a new vaccine or more vaccines or more boosters. You know, there's no Delta variant vaccine that I know of. Okay. Yet we, you know, the vaccine is for the original, you know, SARS-CoV-2, the original COVID-19 virus, which doesn't exist anymore in most of the world.
Right. So they're giving you a vaccine that's irrelevant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, the average person don't understand that, but what's next is in another area of your life. What food you eat, what size house you live in, what clothes you wear, how you vote.
Well, if you give up your control of your own body, I mean, there's nothing left. You know, then you give up control of your house, your car. You know, people in the cities have given up, you know, most of their traffic lanes to bicycles. You know, that's one of the reasons I left San Francisco. It's being taken over by Maoist bike riders. You know, it is. They used to have this thing called critical mass. There'd be like 2,000 to 3,000 bicyclists that would block all the entrances to the Bay Bridge so people couldn't get home. All it did was piss a lot of people off. It really didn't help the cause of bicycles, but they thought they were doing good by causing mayhem. And it was once a month, the last Friday of the month, everybody knew it was coming. And so people either left early or stayed in the bars and got drunk and then drove home, which is equally bad. Anyway, I'm going to play something real quick for a minute, just to give us a breather. And then I want to get on some stuff from Judicial Watch. There's a report on Ashley Babbitt and there's one on Brian Sitnik. And I have, of course, interesting theories on both. So let's have a little surf music and I'll be right back.
Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed. and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Okay. So it looks like Jean had to disappear. So we're kind of on a weird schedule here, but she may call back in on the phone. But Jean normally has to leave at this time anyway. And so normally we're on 7 to 9 Central Time, 8 to 10 Eastern. As soon as we get a few more sponsors, I'm going to make that 6 to 9 Central and 7 to 10 Eastern. So we get a whole bunch of new folks. I figure we get an earlier hour, get a lot more East Coast listeners live. And this is what I really want, is the live listeners. And the California folks, well, they just have to get up at 4 in the morning. You know, I do. Why shouldn't everybody else? Anyway, I got some fun stuff here. Now, Pianki, do you remember the show we did on Brian Sitnik and why he was the Capitol Hill officer? They said initially he was killed with a fire extinguisher by Trump supporters. That was proven false. And then they came out with this thing that said, you know, he died of natural causes, you know, two strokes. And, you know, wait, I'm getting the 90-second warning. That's not true. I've got an hour. Why am I getting 9? All right, that's the – oh, I see. They're still going by the original time. They don't know I extended the show. If the show drops off, then I'll just go back live. You know, so if I happen to if they say that I only have a minute left, then I'll just redo the show and we'll just, you know, we'll just carry on as we did yesterday after I mistakenly cut the show for my Wi-Fi. We won't do that again.
Well, if they gave you the 90 minutes warning, we're gonna drop off. That's usually the way it works.
Well, no, not really, because I still have an hour left on the clock. Okay. So, but the thing was, this episode started midway through, but I extended the time, you know, longer. So it should, let me see if it still says, it should, I schedule it for from 2 hours to 3 hours to cover the first hour that we didn't get. So let's wait and see what happens in 30 seconds.
Well, maybe they're trying to force you to take Facebook and Google funding.
That could be. I'll take their funding. I just won't do what they say. Looks like Gene's back. So let's get Gene back on the line. Hey, Gene, we're waiting to see if we drop off here in 20 seconds. Well, I have to start a new episode. I don't think so, because I still have an hour. Counting down, 16, 15, 14.
Right, and I know. The other day when you dropped it, we were able to stay on past the time.
Yeah.
Or past the head of the hour, put it that
way.
Well,
that, I think that voice is still, you know, on the air level. We got 2 seconds, 1, 0. Are we still here?
We're still here.
We're still here. All right. So the clock still says I have 59 minutes. So we still have another hour. I'm going to stick around for the hour. Pianki, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here holding my breath.
So I guess we're still broadcasting. Okay, good. Well, it worked. All right.
My toes is tense.
Isn't it fun? All right. Oh, my mouse batteries are low, too. What else could go wrong today? All right. So Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch is kind of an interesting organization. It was started by Larry Klayman, who Jonathan Mosley, our legal expert, works with. And he left it, and I think Tom Fitton took over. Still a good organization. Just I think each person makes a different way of running things. But anyway, so this is from August 11th. Judicial Watch obtains additional documents on death investigation of Capitol Police Officer Sitnik, show media pressured medical examiner on natural causes conclusion. Now, you know what I think, right? Do you guys agree? I think he was killed by a COVID vaccine, and they're just not saying. Remember the show we did on that? Nobody remembers?
Yeah.
Pianki, do you remember? Gene, are you still there?
I would say my thinking is I really don't care. I mean, how he actually died, was it medical or was it from something that happened that day? That's all that I need to know. Because, yeah, so many people push somebody, you know, hit him over the head and all this other stuff. But unfortunately, he may have just, and that's what it sounds, he died because of a medical thing. And not from the day, but, you know, from his own body. And just to put out that false narrative, I think it's horrible, horrible.
Well, was it though? He died of two strokes on the same day. He's like 44 years old. He died of two strokes. Okay. Now you know medical stuff. You're in the health professions. Blood clots causes strokes,
fluky.
Right?
Yeah, it's fluky, but people do die, you know,
right?
of strokes at that age. But
okay.
If he did have the vaccine, it would be interesting to know how, when he had it in relation to when he died.
Okay, now I reported this. It's public knowledge that Capitol Hill, you know, because of Nancy Pelosi, was the first group of people that got the vaccine back in December of 2020. Okay, so
right,
the staffers
got it,
the members of Congress got it. Now, they said that they couldn't absolutely be sure, but there's no reason to assume that the Capitol Police and the D.C. Police didn't get it since they're both on Capitol Hill. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi wanted everybody vaccinated. So if Sicknick got this in December, there's every reason to believe, you know, he could have developed blood clots within a couple of weeks of getting the vaccine and dropped dead of that January 7th.
Yes, that's very true.
Okay. Pianki?
Yes,
we have silence here. Yeah, okay. All right. Let me read you some more of this, and I'll get into the other one, which is kind of interesting, too. So normally I have the election correction report and the not ready for Facebook vaccine report. And I have stories on both of those. The problem with the election correction is that we're still waiting for Arizona. Arizona has problems with Maricopa County. You know, until the audit comes out, we're really not going to get anything because the other states aren't going to go forward until Arizona comes out with theirs. And Arizona's being held up by complications and problems. And I was listening to Kelly Townsend last night on, I think, One American News. And she said, well, I'm in it for the long haul. If it takes 10 years to get the indictments, I'm in. And I'm like, no, that's BS. That's not going to work. We need this audit now because we need Trump either reinstated or we need a completely new set of election laws starting now so that by 2022, you know, next November, that we actually have honest election laws to go. And so that requires a correction of 2020. That's my contention. All right. So back to Judicial Watch. Washington, D.C. Judicial Watch announced today it has received an additional 2,440 pages of records related to the death of U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, which show major media representatives pressuring the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, OCME, of the District of Columbia over its conclusion that Officer Sicknick had died of natural causes. On April 20th, one day after Officer Sicknick's autopsy results were released, CNN reporter Jen Christensen emailed the medical examiner's office asking, quote, how someone could die of natural causes after a traumatic event. In other words, they're alleging that Trump supporters killed him, right? In an April 20th email to the medical examiner's office, reporter Sarah Mims of BuzzFeed News, another really reliable source, presses for, quote, clarity on the death determination. She says, I'm really pressing on clarity here, not only because of the importance of the case, but also because the USCP, the United States Capitol Police, and the Justice Department initially said that Sicknick died due to injuries he sustained at the Capitol. Well, they lied. We know that. She says, we want to be accurate, which may mean updating those original stories about how he died, you know, if the ME medical examiner can clarify this point. Now, if you remember from that show, we went over very carefully how incompetent the D.C. coroner is. And a lot of coroners are because they have no idea what they're doing. They're not doctors in a lot of cases. They're not certified for what they do. Most of them are just political hacks, you know, which would make sense given the Democrats running of D.C. And so, you know, it's more your affirmative action rather than it's towing the party line rather than what you can actually do. So this is interesting. And nowhere in this Judicial Watch statement does it say anything about the possibility that he died of a COVID shot. So guess what I did last night? Guess who I wrote? Judicial Watch, saying, hey, have you considered that he might have died of a COVID shot? Why don't you get Freedom of Information Act on that? So we shall see. Anyway, that's about all I want to say on Brian Sicknick. I think there's a massive cover-up here. We got more information. Dr. Samantha Toliver, the chief toxicologist for the Medical Examiner's Office, indicated that a draft report had been completed in the Sicknick death investigation on February 17th. Okay, that's nice. So where's the toxicology report? Does that include vaccines? You know, I want to know. I don't know where all this comes from. I mean, they have all these papers and all these people, and they talk about all these folks that were, you know, doing reports. And March 31st, medical examiner Francisco Diaz emailed medical examiner official Anna Francis saying, can you please restrict access to e-file in this case? So we already know they're suppressing the records. They're suppressing the records. They don't want it out. Think about this for a second. If it comes out that Brian Sicknick died of a COVID vaccine, What's that going to do to the entire narrative of A, January 6th, B, Trump, and C, the idea of vaccines in general? If a relatively, you know, certainly a middle-aged, healthy officer, you know, who routinely gets physicals, you know, and is 44 years old, which is not old. I was still taking police, you know, physical checks, you know, tests at that point to see if I could qualify for stuff just because I was curious. And I was still leaping over 6-foot walls at 44. Thank you. You know, so what do you think that would do to the narrative if it comes out this guy died of a COVID shot? I think that would that would be an amazing revelation.
Yeah, it would be amazing to require people to walk around the wall still trying to jump over it.
He's bad. And then Gene, you got any comments on this, Gene? Then we'll go to the next one. We're sort of all over the place today.
Well, it would blow their narrative, that's for sure. And they would never, they would say that's not true. There's no way they're going to admit it, even if they find out that it was COVID shot related. They're going to say, oh, that's just speculation. They're not going to accept it for the fact that it is or may be.
Okay. Well, I wish you turned to logic and reason.
You know,
go ahead, Bianchi.
The main thing with having to do with these vaccines is that we have to reestablish that people have a liberty to do or not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be reestablished and reasserted, because the things that we're seeing coming up now, like Gene, you say that you're threatened with your job. And then I hear what people say, well, we don't respect religious exemptions anymore in this case. Well, that's just entirely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be reapplied.
But churches don't respect their independence anymore either. Look how they knuckled under. See, this didn't happen before the churches caved and went to mass social distance, closed their services, had people standing outside in 100-degree heat, you know, so that they wouldn't, you know, be too close to each other. The churches are responsible for this. If they stood strong, like some of there's one church in Florida and one in California, and said, we are not knuckling under this. We are carrying on as we did before. We're going to sit next to each other. We're going to hold our services inside. We don't give a damn what you say. You know, if all the churches had done that, we wouldn't be in this mess because religion would still be respected. It's their own fault that we've lost this religious exemption because they refused to stand up for what was right and do what they're supposed to do.
Well, you know, you can have religious convictions and never step a day in a church.
Oh, absolutely.
The church is, you know, the church of Satan is just as much prominent as the Catholic Church. That's a person's own personal, what's been described, religious conviction. So the government should follow its instruction, Congress, that is, should follow its instruction that's put in the Constitution.
But churches are still a symbol. They're still a symbol.
That's,
you know,
perfectly fine. But
you know, when
if
the church
you pray
is
in your closet,
under,
like the if you pray in your closet, like the Bible talks about, it don't have to be the Bible. It can be anything. You know, the Bible is late. It's a Johnny come lately. I don't really want to get into that, but it is a Johnny come lately. People had religious convictions long before that, and being that the Constitution says what it said, that should be respected. If Gene say she has a spiritual conviction that she should not be taking a vaccine, based on that, then that should be recognized.
Yeah, and I have a connection. Go ahead, Jim.
But now they're saying if you use that as a reason and you got a flu shot, then it's null and void, which I disagree with that because they're two totally different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows what you know when you burn your candles, who knows what you are feeling? So a message may come that say a flu shot's okay.
Well, also, one's, you know, actually gene material and the other is a messenger RNA. And you may, you know, the two totally different animals. I mean, yes, they're both injected, but there's a difference between injecting, you know, salt water and injecting messenger RNA. Yeah, both are injections. We covered that yesterday. So, Gene, what do you think of this idea? And I'm sort of debating how public I want to go with this. I mean, I don't mind talking about it on the show, but that there are, and I talked about this yesterday, Josie brought it up also, there are certain places and certain doctors and nurses and certain people that are actually giving, you know, because the saline solution has to be mixed with the, we talked about this yesterday. Yeah, you were there too. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting you're here every day. Sorry. Anyway, but the fact that these saline solutions are mixed with the concentrate to make the vaccines, that people could just get the saline solution, which of course is harmless, and it was, I think it is, and then say that they got the vaccine, and that'd be a way to keep their health and keep their job at the same time. Do you see that as a viable option that we should probably not make as public as I probably already did?
Well, why come you can't inject your own cells? You have to go to a doctor. You don't have to go to the doctor and inject insulin, do you?
No, but you need the card. You need the vaccine card. The only reason to do it is get the card. Yeah, Jean, go ahead. Why don't you tell me the details?
Well, and there's unfortunately, there's other ways to get the card, too, that's not legal. But then it's what's righteous and moral and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. then I look at it, the government's not being righteous and moral. They never are. And mm-hmm. so what, you have to look up for yourself. And, yeah, trust me, if I could get the saline, I'd be right there. Yeah, because I don't believe in the vaccine. I really don't. If it's already outdated, not doing any good, people mm-hmm. are causing more variants because they got the vaccine. Why are we getting it?
Yep. And now people
well,
think they're
oral vaccines too, isn't it, Greg?
But not for this. No.
I took oral vaccine with polio.
The Sabin oral, and then the Salk was injected. Yeah, or the Salk was oral, and the Sabin was injected. But the polio vaccine was live virus. That was designed to infect your whole family. You know, that was really disgusting the way they did that virus. Yeah, it's a
well,
lot of problems.
Well, go get your card made up.
I mean, the vaccine.
Get your card made up. Go to a Notary Public, sit there in front of her, and pour out what you want in your thing and drink it.
I don't think it works that way. From what I've heard from friends mm-hmm. who have seen the card, this is a very tamper-resistant. It's almost like it's worse than a driver's license. I mean, this is a tamper-resistant. This is a very, unfortunately, well-engineered card. Gene, have you seen one? Have you seen a vaccine card?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either, for obvious reasons. I haven't gotten the vaccine.
I guess I could ask someone that's got the vaccine what it looks like, but... it's not something I really even care to see.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But here's the moral question. The moral dilemma is it illegal to break an illegal law? And I say no. If the government is forcing you to do something against your will, against your health, and completely unconstitutional because it's a seizure of your body under the Fourth Amendment, you're supposed to be secure in your person. That's your body. You know, stuff you keep in your pocket. That's anything that's connected to your person is your, you know, is sacred, right? And so that you have unalienable rights to protect your person. That includes being free from unnecessary chemical poisons, you know, to be injected into you. So to me, it is not immoral. In fact, it's the moral decision to illegally break an illegal law, because the Supreme Court has said illegal laws don't exist. Unconstitutional laws don't exist. So there's no problem. You know, with breaking a law
Let me ask you a
that
question,
doesn't
Greg.
Exist. Yeah, go ahead.
If you would be tested now for COVID, you would test negative.
Not necessarily. Okay. I think I had it.
You had it, but you don't have it right now.
No.
Let's say you don't have it right now.
Mm-hmm.
From today backwards, what have you been doing to assure that your body, your immune system, is performing like it should against this virus?
Well, I'll tell you the story. At first, nothing, because I was overworked. My immune system was weak, and I think I got it. And it was back in January, the end of December, beginning of January 2020, so the end of December 2019, when my voice sounded like crap, and I was asking everybody to guest host because I couldn't talk. That went on for about 2 weeks. So at that point, I was at my most stressed in the show, most overworked, least sleep. I was in terrible shape and probably worst diet, most overweight. Okay. I was just struggling to get through, to get the show, you know, going. Ever since then, I've got a ton of reporters. I got a producer now with Gene. I've got regular callers like you, Pianchi. You know, everything's changed. I'm getting more sleep, more exercise. I'm eating better. You know, I'm not stressed out as much. And so my immune system is much stronger than it ever was before. But once the COVID started, you know, I looked to my local pharmacist and I got these zinc elderberry lozenges because I was never really worried about COVID because I do have a strong immune system. So as soon as I got my sleep caught up, I was fine. I never wore a mask. I never restricted to home. From the very beginning, when Governor DeSantis, whom I called Dictator DeSantis at that point, said, you know, you have to stay home and we can't go to the beaches. You know, me, of course, I went, you know, to the beach, played, you know, went to the parks, you know, drove with my window open in my car, you know, singing country music out the window as loudly as I could. I didn't care. I was a rebel. I never conformed to that. I never stopped my job. I met people constantly, you know, strangers all the way. I never wore a mask except when, you know, on that rare occasion when I was in the retail outlet of my day job, and only then when I was in front of a customer. So we're talking 30 seconds at a time, and even then it was cloth, you know. But recently, because of the vaccine, I'm not worried about COVID. I'm worried about the vaccinated people because of the shedding of spike proteins and the things that my immune system might not be used to. You know, it's like secondhand smoke, secondhand vaccine. I'm now taking 500 milligrams of quercetin, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 2,000 international units of vitamin D3, and about 20 milligrams of zinc per day as the Zelenko preventive protocol that not only protects you from COVID, also protects you from the spike proteins and the ill effects of secondhand vaccine injury.
Now, listen to this. Everything you just said that you was taking, put it in a cup, pour some distilled water on it, let it dissolve, then drink it. That's your vaccine.
Of course. Absolutely.
Because it's worked.
Yep.
And it's a safe vaccine.
So wait a minute. That means I'm fully vaccinated every day.
Absolutely.
Okay, can I get a card to that effect? Not that I need my papers. Yes, forgot to present your papers, please. Papers.
Well, that's where you get your notary statements declaring that this notary has witnessed me taking my vaccine.
That's an interesting idea. That is a fascinating idea. I love it. Hey, Gene, you want to get yourself notarized and for getting on this Zelenko protocol?
I think that would be awesome. I think we need to start pushing that. Yeah.
That is a brilliant idea. I'm so glad you're part of the show, Pianki. So
yeah,
Zelenko protocol is a vaccine.
Thank you.
I'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing. If you're tested after that and you test negative, hey, you know what? I've got to tell you this story. I had a friend of mine who went to Uganda, and he came down with malaria. And while he went to the hospital or any other outlet hospital, they tested him, said he had COVID. Every time.
Everybody has COVID.
This is just within the last month.
Everybody has COVID. The whole world has COVID because we've all been exposed to it. But is that the PCR test? They magnified it 40 times when they only recommend magnifying it 20 times at the absolute most? Everybody has
COVID. Well, see, here's the thing with him. He's very astute on this topic, just like you are, Gene. Uh-huh. He's very astute on these viruses, have been for a long time. And he tells them, no, I don't have COVID. I got malaria. So what I'm trying to get at, people who is unknowingly and ignorant to the fact, they can be told anything, and they would, you know, they think the world is crushing in on them.
That's
one thing we have not learned to overcome with individuals, and that's their fear. So what happens? People start exploiting the fact that human beings are fearful.
Yeah, did you hear our show Monday with Christian Elliott? We talked a lot about that, and his articles are brilliant. And also if you go to YouTube and go to Academy of Ideas, they do all kinds of wonderful videos on everything from Orwell to mass psychosis to the whole psychology. I'm going through the series myself, the whole psychology of how people can be made so fearful, you know, from the Salem witch trials to the Inquisition to today. You know, it wouldn't be surprised if someone advocates that people, you know, unvaccinated be killed so that everybody will survive. I mean, they're shooting dogs in Australia. You know, because people might play with them and they might congregate. You know, that's how bad things are getting. This is we're in a mass psychosis where people are so terrified and so irrational they will do anything to do what they think will save themselves. It's like if you try and save a drowning person, the first thing they'll try and do is drown you.
Yeah.
You know, because
did you know that Jeff Bezos banned it 1984 book from
he
Amazon?
He banned it from what, Amazon?
Yeah, he did. He banned it from Kindle, I think. He banned it from Kindle.
Oh, the Kindle? Yeah. They're banning everything. You know, this is why you got to get the copies of 19. Get the book or the movie, although the book, of course, is better. I have to get my copy of Gone with the Wind before that's Gone with the Wind. I picked up one of my favorite movies of all time, The Fountainhead. Ayn Rand, talking about the virtues of individuality and why your work is yours and why you don't have to serve the greater good. You don't have to serve the community. Your work is not, you know, the property of everybody. It's yours. And so everything starts with the individual. All change is started by individuals. You know, I mean, everybody joins that individual, but all real change starts with one person. You know, that's where it happens. I'm hoping to be one of those people. So we shall see. But, I mean, all change really does. It's all an individual thing. I have to play – my Santa Rosa volunteer thing. I've got a story here on one of our favorite topics, Ashley Babbitt, and how the fact that Lieutenant Michael J. Byrd, black officer of the Capitol Hill Police, shot and killed her. And, of course, they don't say it in Judicial Watch. I've already said it. I have another article that says it really plainly. I want to take that up in about 9 minutes. So, Pianki, why don't you take a break? Gene, do you have a few minutes, or are you on your way to work now, or what's your story?
I'm going to have to say goodbye for today, which is sad because I would really love to hear this because I think her death was a travesty. I was listening to something or looking at Facebook the other day, and I can't believe how many people said she deserved to die. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, what did she do? She was standing there. Who know? You know, when you see these people being said, you can go in, you go in. I don't know. So,
well,
yeah,
Gene, you know what you should have said? You should have said, well, you know, Trayvon Martin and Eric Gardner deserved that too. They didn't comply.
Well, they said something about George Floyd, and then that Floyd people, they were like, that's a totally different thing. It's like, no, it's not, because George Floyd actually was a thug and did something, but just like the other ones, you're absolutely correct.
And that lady served a country in the Air Force.
Yeah. And George Floyd has a rap sheet a mile long. He was not a decent human being.
Yeah, throw it back at him, Gene. Just throw it. Throw it back at him. Go to Planet Fitness and get your throwing arm in shape and start throwing it back at him.
Accuse him of racism or black supremacy or any of those things. It always works.
Yeah.
That is racism, what they said that she deserved to die. Call them a racist. It's racist.
Yeah, it's a hate crime. You know,
it
how come we have an episode?
The thing is, he didn't do it, you know, he didn't do it malicely, I don't think, or on purpose. Or
oh, wait
like
a minute.
That.
No,
but,
hold on. Michael J. Byrd, Lieutenant Michael
point.
J. Byrd, has a terrible record himself. He's no angel.
Michael J. Byrd was a racist to kill that white woman who posed no threat whatsoever. He's a racist.
Yeah. And yet,
where are these people at? Maybe I need to drop by.
Well, which people? He's DC
just
police.
Antagonizing Gene like that.
Well, it's fine. Hey, Gene, do you need help? Should we take a road trip?
No, that's, I don't like to get negative energy out there because it's just, I feel it's not doing any good because they want to think what they want to think. I have to find a better way or a different way to approach it. But you're right. I may just say, hey, you know, and I just often just say, I pray for you. Because the thing is, when they're so misguided, that's all I can do is pray that they see the light.
No.
Well, let
light.
Me tell you, yeah, people have been praying. They pray. But let me tell you something. When it comes down to defending the U.S. Constitution, you might as well figure on losing half your friends or more.
That's true. Wow. Yeah. That's so.
Hey,
true.
Listen, I had to purge all the liberals off my page, and they were friends of mine. But I said it's not worth me losing my show over. I'm not going to have these people sabotage me and get. You notice I haven't been suspended. You know, since I changed my page to friends only and got rid of my little friends, I'm certainly happy to be friends with them. We just can't talk on Facebook because I can't risk whoever the trolls are, you know, maybe the friends of them that are seeing stuff that they're posting from me, you know, that are calling Facebook. But I really believe it's not the algorithms. I really believe that people are turning other folks in just like any other communist dictatorship. And so that's how that's working. All right, Gene, tell you what, have a wonderful day. You can catch the rest of the show on podcast. While you're driving home.
All right. Take care.
All right, dude.
Yeah, be careful, Gene.
Yeah, anybody can do that too. So folks that don't know, you want to catch us. You know, actually, Pianki, you know, we're still heard in Afghanistan. We got listeners there, which you know, we support all you folks. And let's see. I wish we could get a call from there. I've got a Skype line. And that's one of my other projects to work on getting that going. And that and Gene's going to run the live chat. And so we can figure out how to do that as well. But if you're listening, if you want to listen in your vehicle, just put, blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction in your phone. Connect your phone to your vehicle audio, and there we are. All right, Bianchi, you want to mute yourself? We're going to take about a 9-minute break here. I'm going to play my latest Santa Rosa Volunteers as we go through all the founding documents. This is Federalist number 4. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Federalist Paper Number 4 by John Jay. We return again to the farcical Federalist Papers of John Jay. He was always arguing for a strong national government so we could repel invasions. Well, that could be done with a strong military. There was no need for a strong national government to rule over the people in order to allegedly keep us safe from foreign invasion, unless, as I suspect, it was the bogus threat of foreign invasion that was used by John Jay to try and get a strong national government to rule over we the people. That goes directly against the meaning and spirit of a constitution, which is a strict limit on any government through a series of very specific, defined, and delegated powers. That is where we the people are in charge, and delegate power to local government, who delegates to state governments, who then limit the powers of a federal government, where the powers of the states and the federal government are separate so that there is no overlap, no conflict, and no confusion. That is, unless and until the federal government wants to become a national government and reverse government from we the people, consenting specifically to certain delegated powers, then abandoning the Constitution, and then ruling over we the people. Only someone who saw themselves as one of the rulers of the national government would take such an absurd, conflicting, contrary, and so obviously opposite view of government to everything fought for against Britain in their quest to convince we the people to be as subjugated by the new U.S. national government as they were under the King of England as colonists. John Jay got his wish as he became the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and as he desired, our federal government went on to the top-down controlling national government he always wanted. He starts Federalist No. 4 with a summary of Federalist No. 3, saying, "My last paper assigned several reasons why the safety of the people would be best secured by union against the danger it may be exposed to by just causes of war given to other nations, and those reasons show that such causes would not only be more rarely given, but would also be more easily accommodated by a national government than either by the state governments or their proposed little confederacies. In other words, we the people, if not controlled by a national government of John Jay and his fellow elitists, might give other nations a reason to attack the United States. And that only is national government, and that only his national government could protect us. Rather, it appears the national government is really designed to protect itself from we the people instead." In the second paragraph, he goes from an imaginary threat to imaginary causes of war when he says, "But the safety of the people of America against dangers from foreign force depends not only on their forbearing to give just causes of war to other nations, but also on their placing and continuing themselves in such a situation as to not invite hostility or insult, for it need not be observed that there are pretended as well as just causes of war. So our greatest defense against a pretense of war and being attacked is to turn into a nation of cowards, refusing to give even so flimsy an excuse as to inspire a pretended cause of war to any potential enemy. Such a population could only be protected from their own inducements for war by other countries, by pretended causes, by a strong national government that will prevent we the people from giving such offense, real or imagined, to any other nation. And that is why John Jay is an idiot. His arguments are contradictory, transparent, illogical, disconnected, and irrelevant to the cause of the Constitution, but all for the national government he is trying so desperately to sell, and he does it so badly. I can't wait to review Anti-Federalist number 4. John Jay then weaves us through the dangers of offending the British fishing industry. He speaks of how trade is a zero-sum game, where if we trade more, other nations trade less in exact proportion and might be offended by our cheaper cost and better quality goods and products. And in a preview of coming attractions today, doesn't want to offend China by not buying their products and selling them our products instead. Can you think of anything that would offend good patriots more than being required to, quote, not offend China, England, India, fishmongers, and others in order not to be attacked in a pretense war? I'm thinking John Jay is the originator of political correctness and cancel culture. John Jay reveals both his cowardice and bureaucratic master plan for control of we the people in the final paragraph of Federalist number 4, where he says, "But whatever may be our situation, whether firmly united under one national government or split into a number of confederacies, certain it is that foreign nations will know and view it exactly as it is, and they will act toward us accordingly. If they see that our national government is efficient and well-administered, our trade prudently regulated, our militia properly organized and disciplined, our resources and finances discreetly managed, our credit reestablished, our people free, contented, and united, they will be much more disposed to cultivate our friendship than provoke our resentment. If, on the other hand, they find us either destitute of an effectual government, each state doing right or wrong, as to its rulers may seem convenient, or split into 3 or 4 independent and probably discordant republics or confederacies, one inclining to Britain, another to France, and a third to Spain, and perhaps played off against each other by the three, what a poor, pitiful figure America will make in their eyes. How liable would she become not only to their contempt, but to their outrage? And how soon would dear-bought experience proclaim that when a people or family so divide, it never fails to be against themselves?" And not once did this future Chief Justice of the Supreme Court mention individual rights, limited government, life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. Not once did John Jay speak of the ever-increasing the wealth of this nation from combining labor, raw materials, natural resources, and capital to create economic growth independent of any other nation's economy and not some imaginary zero-sum limitation. And all that is why John Jay was never suited to serving our government anyway, not even to write about it for we the people. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is SRV1776.com. That's SRV1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. All right, we're back live. Pianki. I'm really having fun with these. I recorded that this morning, and I'm definitely enjoying going through all our founding documents. And you realize little things like the fact he did mention, well, we can't piss off China. Said, what the hell is that going on? Way back 1700s. It's like, well, we can't piss off China. You know, and it said, well, we can't piss off the British fishing industry. You know, we have to make sure that we're not invaded. We have to, you know, make sure that we subject ourselves to the New World Order, even though we're an independent country. And I can just see the Jeffersonians going, who the hell is this idiot? And I can't wait to get to Eddie Federalist number 4 and see what see who wrote, you know, a contrary opinion to this that is basically government stooge. What do you think? Isn't it amazing how these things transcend 200 years? It's the same stuff, same problems.
Oh, yes, it is. It's the it comes along with success. Both success and failure has some things that's pertinent to either one of them that you're going to have to deal with. And what we're saying, you see, here's the thing. Let's look at this. Sheila Jackson Lee is trying to pass a gun law that's going to affect me. And I don't even live in Texas. But she's doing it based on her the experiences that's going on with her constituents in her ward. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the same thing. Say, well, these people need jobs and education. Okay, okay. But at the same time, you have entities out there, like you made mention of Facebook and Google, that's going against conservative causes that would help shore up the possibilities for the things to be provided the due diligent way for her constituents that's going out committing crime using weapons. Because that's what they say. They need something to do. Well, if you keep attacking corporations, for instance, especially in businesses, well, you are limiting their ability to get involved in other things, spreading out their purpose where it could provide what your constituents that's getting in trouble need to do.
Yeah.
School choice is one. Well, she's against that on one hand. Well, she wants to have gun control that her constituent who doesn't get an education to be able to sell a skill that will provide them with a meaningful and sustainable business, not business, but income, well, then it's complicating. It just complicates the whole problem.
Hmm. Well, I've been trying to think of any place where Democrat rules and policies have actually improved the situation. You look at Democrat schools, and they suck. You look at Democrat public housing. It's terrible. You look at Democrat-run cities. They're all bankrupt. They all need bailing out. You know, they waste money like crazy, and they think that and their whole goal, I remember this one of these council folks, he was in Detroit, who said, you know, get money, bring money back to the district. That's what you do. And it was amazing to listen to this, that her sole occupation was getting money, you know, and distributing it. Well, that doesn't solve anything. So it makes perfect sense to me that Sheila Jackson Lee, who lives in Texas, God knows why, I mean, she's not in there in the spirit of Texas, would want to bring all the things that don't work and keep doing it. I mean, it's almost the definition of insanity is Democrat programs. You know, blaming guns for violence is, you know, it's like blaming, you know, hammers for termites. It doesn't work. You know, it's like the termites are causing the damage, not the hammer, you know. Yeah.
And the thing too, Greg, she is being elected by a people who is down and out. And her position pays very, very well. So if you create programs that would help soothe the pain for those that is down and out, well, it's just soothing the pain where they exist presently. It doesn't provide them with the mechanism where, and it usually ain't going to happen with the parents. It's the kids. The kids are the one. The parents were a kid one time that did not receive the proper resources that it needs, whereas it wouldn't be in the position that it is today.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know about Chinese
district?
Here's the sad thing about this. Who makes up her district? What people?
Her district is black.
Okay.
Basically black and poor.
Which city are we talking about?
Houston, Texas. Houston in Texas.
Got it.
The thing on this, Greg, is that you never see these programs are just recycling over and over to one generation to the next. One generation to the next.
Right.
A
well,
program
no,
is supposed to eliminate the need for it, believe it or not.
So that's the problem. These programs are designed to perpetuate more programs. They spend money so they can spend more money. You know, they keep getting reinstated every year, but there needs to be a substantial audit. We got to break the cycle. And I think I remember Jack Kemp tried to do that with his enterprise zones. Donald Trump had all kinds of things in black neighborhoods that emphasized entrepreneurship. And we've got conservative black leaders that need to replace Sheila Jackson Lee, you know, at the local, at the state, and certainly the federal level. But if we've got a black district in Houston that's poor, and it's been that way for a long time, then that's by design. Because people don't naturally want to be poor. People don't naturally want to be subjugated. You've got to impose a victimhood mentality on people where they think the only solution is money from somewhere else. You know, I mean, the human spirit's there in all these folks in Houston, but it's been beaten out of them. And it's been beaten out of them for several generations. So we need to inspire it back. You know, there should be all kinds of grants for, you know, black-owned businesses, or even not that, but just businesses coming in these districts. But a lot of times, you know, the crime is so bad that the bigger places, the Walmarts and some of the bigger businesses that want to be there, can't go because they get looted. You know, the crime is a horrible situation, so they can't. It's like San Francisco right now where the crime is so bad, Walgreens are closing all their drugstores because people are walking out with, you know, almost $1,000 worth of stuff, and that's not being prosecuted. So you got to solve the crime problem first and, you know, create a good environment, yeah.
But her gun control efforts may be taking guns out of the hands. She's trying to take hands out of the criminal in her ward. But she's doing a federal act that's going to affect people in Florida. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me that you're going to make it harder for people in Florida to obtain protection that they need so they are not cast into a deplorable position where all of a sudden they find themselves doing what? Needing government help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, taking away guns takes away independence. It takes away, you know, your self-respect. It takes away responsibility you have over something that is potentially fatal. You know, and it's a responsibility to own a gun. And I remember when I first had it, first owned a gun, I was thinking, wow, I got this gun in my house. Damn. You know, I mean, I was sort of afraid to have it the first couple of months. And then very quickly, it turned out I was afraid not to have it. You know, you go through this transition. And the same thing with independence. People are afraid of independence, and then they're once they get used to it, you know, however long that takes, they're afraid not to have it. So we need to make a transition. We need to make a transition in her district. I'd love to go into her district, and, you know, but well, you're facing a mountain of problems.
I attached kite string onto your belt so we can find you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give me a safety. I'll lower me by zip line from a helicopter in case, you know, if I tug, I got to, you know, yank me up, okay? But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, how would a white guy be listened to in a black district?
Greg,
you know, I'd be looked at as the oppressor, you know, yeah.
It's the same thing with this virus. People mm-hmm. have a fear.
Yeah.
And they need something to neutralize that fear. So people mm-hmm. have guns to protect themselves from criminals, break in, so on. Well,
right.
Now you people got a fear of COVID. So now they came up with a neutralizer, which is the vaccine, which people are running to because they think it would save them from ending up as being a statistic. It's the same thing.
It makes statistics. Well, and this is the weird thing. It's like, well, we talked about this on Monday with Christian Elliott. And the way I see it, fear makes it impossible for you to find truth. But if you have truth, it's impossible for fear to affect you. You know, so you have to be willing to look at things with logic and reason and not rely on experts. You know, I can't tell you how many people say when I tell them we write legislation on our show, well, do you have lawyers look at it? Well, no, but I mean, we have one just because he's part of the show. But for the most part, I don't rely on lawyers to write legislation. Why? Because I can read the U.S. Code. I can see the sections of law. I can change the language, propose an amendment, and send that into members of Congress. There's no big secret to that. In fact, it's so surprisingly easy. It's easier than I ever thought it was going to be. That's the biggest surprise of all. So this reliance on experts, you know, do you need an expert? I mean, I take Dr. Zelenko's advice on which things to take. But I also research them and look them up. I go, well, that makes sense. You know, the vitamins aren't going to hurt me. If anything, they help me. So even if that protocol of his, the quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, even if, you know, that doesn't work against COVID, which it will, I believe it does, but the worst thing that can happen to me is nothing. You know, and actually it's a beneficial effect because I get more vitamin D, more vitamin C, more zinc, and quercetin is a preventive for all kinds of things from malaria to COVID. You know, it's preventive from
Absolutely.
Viral infections. So I can't go
and
wrong.
And how did you get to the position that you are where you understand? Well, it was
logic
your education. You had to have logic and reason in order to obtain a general aviation license, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so
well,
your ability to your ability to learn and master the logic and reason, where you can navigate, where you can look at the sky, you can do all those things, have now mm-hmm. spun off into another area. You attain yeah. those skills. You mastered those skills. Now you're able to go into other areas, like do research about viruses.
That's interesting.
Do mm-hmm. research about your physical problems that you once had. So now,
so
if you got in her district, wait a minute, real
right.
quick. If you got in your in her district that mm-hmm. the children that's going to these schools are not given those logic and reasoning skills, well, when they become adults, where do you think they are? They in a state of fear and fall for everything that comes down the pipe that's
yeah.
going to be exploited to them, from pharmaceuticals to everything else.
You know, they don't trust their own ability to use logic and reason. Well, those are what I would call critical thinking skills. These, to me, seem the most important, you know, things to do. I'd love to be able to go to a school and talk about this kind of stuff because, well, here's where I get really lucky. My school in Australia, it was a private school. It was quite advanced. It was, you know, the old English style with the school uniforms. And like I say, I got caned, you know, but we had the best professors. They taught us to think, you know, and then more than anything else, because this was, you know, the government schools in Australia were terrible at the time. I don't know how they are now. But considering the mentality of Australia, locking down and shooting dogs and other stupid things they're doing for minimal COVID cases when they could cure them, you know, this blindness to the cure is something I don't understand either. They're not even asking the question, you know, or considering the option. Like, why don't we think of a cure? You know, so I don't know exactly where this came from. Probably flying. Probably my classes in Australia where I was allowed to question, you know, but also I'm kind of spunky. You know, we had Bible class. I always got thrown out of the Bible class. Because, you know, with my little scientific mind at 8 years old, you know, I'd ask the priest who was in our school, you know, why? Well, why did this happen? Well, you know, he says, you can't ask those questions. Well, we can't ask those questions. What are you talking about? You know, well, God did it. Well, that's not good enough. You know, God's all powerful, but it should be explained.
Got a blanket reason.
Yeah, exactly. So it was
the blanket reason.
Yes. You know, so I'd be standing in the hallway, and the headmaster, and this is what we used to call the principal, the headmaster walked by and said, Greg, is it Bible class again? I said, why, yes, sir. He says, what is going on? I don't know. I'm just asking questions, you know, but they never really followed up. And I wish they did. But, you know, if you're a man of God, you should be able to ask questions. That's why I was having so much fun when Wendy was on. Wendy Arthur, who did the Oh My God report, you know, because God is very logical mm-hmm. and it makes sense. God makes sense to me because I don't think the universe is an accident. I have reasoned this through, that the DNA in a tulip and the DNA in a human is, you know, 40% similar. 40% the same. Okay, that can't be an accident, you know. So you look at the physics, you look at the subatomic nuclear particles to the size of the universe or universes, and you think to yourself, you know, is that all held together by accident? I don't think so. You know, so
well,
so
then on the other hand,
yeah.
On the other hand, how do you account for space itself?
Exactly. What created space?
See,
yeah, that's a great question. Yeah.
What created space? If God created the universe, something had to exist before that, which is space. So you.
Well, here's another question.
No matter what it is, seemingly,
yeah.
you're
yeah.
always going to have this weighted difference that balances things out.
Yeah. And why did God create space? Why are the planets so far apart?
Well, who says that God created space?
Well, okay. I don't know.
Anyway, let's get off of that because it's a never-ending story.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, at least we can question it. And that's the thing, too. We're not afraid to question. We're not afraid to question our government. Thank God. We're not afraid to question Dr. Fascist, the genocidal psychopathic vaccine drug pusher. Yeah, I'm not afraid to say that. I think I'm the only person in the country saying that every single day, you know, publicly on the air. You know, but that's how I feel.
Well,
that's
makes you
is.
Think. It makes you – see, the whole idea is to make people think. The whole
yeah.
quantum theory of Einstein theory of relativity, it made people begin to think.
Yeah.
And and some people thought about these things diligently. I'm not just saying think about it, but thinking about it in science
mm-hmm.
is working to try to come
yeah.
up with an answer. They may take decades because you're working within the limited capacity of your brain.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get one more news story. About 9 minutes left before we have to go. This is Judicial Watch again, talking about new documents revealed the D.C. Office of the Chief Medical Examiner submitted a request to cremate Ashley Babbitt 2 days after gaining custody of her body. First of all, I'm not sure why the D.C. office got her body, but secondly, the fact that she was cremated 2 days later tells me they had a whole lot to hide to cover up the basically the murder, you know, by Lieutenant Michael J. Burt, black officer of the D.C. police, you know, of Ashley Babbitt, you know, veteran who was apparently crawling through a window. Not what I call a capital crime.
Where is the family on this? Is that allowed?
They're suing.
You know, when you find a dead body on the street, you usually try to find out who the family is.
I don't know if the family – I doubt the family authorized this. I don't know why they didn't get to bury her, why they didn't get a full autopsy and a full examination. Let's see what the article says. You know, we've got about 8 minutes, so we can kind of peruse this a little bit. Washington, D.C. Judicial Watch announced today it had received 1,160 pages of documents. It's amazing how much paper these folks generate. Documents from Washington, D.C.'s Office of the Chief Medical Examiner. Same folks that said Brian Sitnik died of, you know, natural causes, right? Same place, you know, related to Air Force veteran and San Diego native Ashley Babbitt. These documents revealed that the OCME, Office of Chief Medical Examiner, submitted a request for permission to cremate Babbitt only 2 days after taking custody of her body, and that due to the high-profile nature of Babbitt's case, Deputy Chief Medical Examiner Francisco Diaz, same person in the Brian Sitnik case, right, same person here, requested that a secure electronic file with limited access be created for Babbitt records. So not only did they cremate her, as far as I know, they pretty much locked up her records, and now they've already said that Lieutenant Michael J. Byrd is the case is closed. He didn't do anything. It's justifiable shooting. Yep. It's all over. Nothing to see here, folks. Move on. These aren't the droids you're looking for. You know, move along, please.
Well, I can't believe that her family permitted
well,
that
she's already
happen.
Cremated. If she's already been cremated, you know, there's nothing they can do. They can't undo that. They can only go after the office. That's the problem with these things. You can't – this is why I'm against the death penalty. Not that I don't mind murderers being executed. I have no problem with that. But I have a real problem with innocent people being executed. And I know too many people like Jeffrey Descovic, a friend of mine, who was in jail for 17 years for a murder he did not commit. You know, and so, you know, it's the same thing. You can't undo these things, and you have to be just so careful. But I think it's cover-up. It's like, why were the bodies of the Branch Davidians bulldozed in Waco, Texas? To cover up the evidence. You know, why did any of these things happen? To cover up the evidence. That this guy should be in jail for, you know, for at least criminal negligence, if nothing else. Anyway, the article says, additionally, Babbitt's fingerprints were emailed to a person supposedly working for the D.C. government, which resulted in Microsoft, quote, undeliverable messages written in Chinese characters being returned. So what's China got to do with this? Or at least, you know, Chinese characters. Another mystery. Babbitt was shot and killed by an unidentified law enforcement officer, who we now know as Lieutenant Michael J. Byrd, black officer, as she attempted to climb through a broken interior window in the Capitol building located outside the Speaker's lobby of the House floor. So was this guy working for Pelosi directly or not? Do we know? Michael J. Byrd?
Well, no, you don't. Where is the marching and the canning and the posters and things?
Yeah.
That
good
usually
question.
Occur on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get this in the 5 minutes we have left. I found another website, Flag and Cross, which has a headline story. Identity and troubled record of Capitol cop who murdered Ashley Babbitt revealed. This is by Warner Todd Houston. It was written July 13th of this year. Subheading, it can be reported with accuracy that Capitol Hill police officer who murdered the Capitol police officer who murdered Ashley Babbitt on January 6th is one Lieutenant Michael not J. Byrd, Michael L. Byrd. So Michael L. Byrd, pictured very well there in a Facebook article that I put as a comment, just in case they tried to trash me once again. Article says, it can be reported with accuracy that Capitol police officer who murdered Ashley Babbitt was one, Lieutenant Michael L. Byrd, an officer with a troubling record of bumbling and violations. Well, that alone should be investigated. According to Paul Sperry of Real Clear Investigations, it is beyond doubt that Lieutenant Byrd, a 53-year-old black man, is the officer who illicitly shot to death unarmed MAGA protester Ashley Babbitt, a 35-year-old U.S. Air Force veteran who was among the crowd of people who entered the Capitol building on the eventful day of January 6, 2021. Now, notice the language they use. Who was among the crowd of people who entered the Capitol building. Not stormed, not insurrection, not carried weapons, not trying to overthrow the government. Entered, because that's exactly what they did. I call it the Capitol Hill Invitational Walk-In because the police opened the doors and said, come on down. It's like the Price is Right. Come on down. That's what happened. They call it the eventful day, not the insurrection. So language is everything. They totally changed it here. And I like this form. This makes much more sense. Back to the article. Contrary to the lies by Democrats, there was no armed insurrectionists who entered the Capitol that day. And the only person who died during the incursion was Babbitt, shown showdown by the, it should say shot down, I think they misprint, shot down by the officer who was the only person to fire a shot during the several hours long event. There we go. Babbitt served 2 tours in Afghanistan and Iraq before later deployments with the National Guard to Kuwait and Qatar. And this is from her ex-husband, Timothy McKentry. Okay. So let's see what's going on with Michael Byrd. Let's see. And we'll scroll down. Let me get your comments here. Then I'm going to see if I can get to Byrd's record in the last 3 minutes here. What do you think so far?
Well, that should be leveling the cause of racism and everything else. And what throws grease on the fire is what has happened to Afghanistan thus far, sort of muting all her service that she performed in Afghanistan as a U.S. soldier.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of things that that disgust me. One is anytime a conservative says, well, if this happened to the Democrats, they'd be screaming and yelling. And I'm thinking to myself, why the hell aren't you screaming and yelling? It works. Do something. Scream and yell. You know, if I'm not a big screamer and yeller. I'd rather deal with, like I say, logic and reason. But the fact that the geldings don't scream and yell is why I call them the geldings. All right. Let's talk about here. I just found this article last night. It says, but Biden's government is going all out to shield this killer from accountability. That would be Michael L. Byrd. This is because Congress has exempted the USCP from Freedom of Information Act requests. The family is suing the D.C. police for documents that identify the officer who shot Babbitt. Well, we know who it is. As well as notes and summaries of what the officer said regarding the shooting and the reasons he discharged his weapon. D.C. police has led the investigation into Babbitt's shooting. A hearing before a judge is scheduled for September 3rd. Washington-based watchdog Judicial Watch is also suing for the records. He says they sit back and they completely refuse to release the name of their own police officer that was involved in the shooting of an unarmed woman, and that's Ashley Babbitt's husband, Aaron. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Byrd, they say, has a history of questionable actions. For instance, in 2019, Byrd was investigated for leaving his service weapon laying unattended in the Capitol bathroom. The firearm was Byrd's service Glock 22. Huh, same one I have. The same style weapon that was reportedly used to murder Babbitt. Well, that's unfortunate. Biden is shielding this out-of-control dangerous cop from the public. One has to wonder why. And you can follow Warner Todd Houston, H-U-S-T-O-N, on Facebook at facebook.com/warner.toddhouston. I think I'll look him up, too. Sounds like we got a corrupt cop. And, you know, the blue wall of silence is keeping him under wraps for the same reason they're keeping under wraps that I think Brian Sitnick was killed by the COVID vaccine. They're keeping this guy out because they don't want a large black man to have shot a veteran, you know, patriotic, America-loving, you know, white woman. That's what we got, you know. And this guy's terrible anyway. He probably shouldn't have even been on the force. 47 seconds. What do you think, Pianki?
I think you're on to something, as you usually are. The words that you use is more descriptive, where I can visualize what you're talking about.
Well, good. Well, thank you. I try and paint pictures. This is why I like radio. This is why I probably never do video. We can't with Blog Talk anyway, so as long as I'm on Blog Talk. But the idea of a video, people see your face. They don't listen to what you're saying. You know, you have no choice but to listen simply because this is audio only, and it goes right into your brain. And if I can paint a picture of what's going on, of the large black man sitting there drawing his weapon and shooting through a window at Ashley Babbitt when he could hardly see her, then that's exactly the image that I want to portray. All right, sir, we have to go. We got just a couple of seconds left. Thank you for calling in. Thanks to Gene. Thank you for listening to our rather improvised experimental show today. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Support us at patreon.com/actionradio. Back tomorrow morning with a hopefully more organized show at the regular time, 7 o'clock in the morning, Central Time.